Greetings, fellow Republic Broadcasting Network listeners. Today is the 8th of October in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2023. This is Yours Truly, Myrrh. We have a chat room, yourstrulymyrrh.chatango.com. And please remember to visit republicbroadcasting.org or call them or send them mail or visit their sponsors and or visit their sponsors, especially DixieRepublic.com, and you can see all the things they have there, and you can email them at proudsouthern123@gmail.com and tell them RBN sent you. Today we have a guest who's very knowledgeable in the Maseroth, which means constellations, but I think the music was very fitting, a choir of angels, because this deals with how Christ is in everything. And before we get that to him, though, I want to read something that Michael Gaddy sent me. And let me see where the date here is. It was an article originally appeared in the French daily L'Humanité on December 14th, 2001. And those who fail to learn the lessons of history are destined to repeat its mistakes. And in quotes, let us not forget that it was Israel, which in fact created Hamas. According to Zeev Sternel, historian at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, Israel thought that it was a smart ploy to push the Islamists against the Palestinian Liberation Organization, PLO. Ahmad Yassin, the spiritual leader of the Islamist movement in Palestine, returning from Cairo in the 70s, established an Islamic charity association. Prime Minister Golda Meir saw this as an opportunity to counterbalance the rise of Arafat's Fatah movement. According to the Israeli weekly Kotaret Rashit, October 1987, the Islamic associations and the university were authorized to receive money payments from abroad. The Islamists set up orphanages and health clinics, as well as a network of schools, workshops, which created employment for women, as well as a system of financial aid to the poor. And in 1978, they created an Islamic university in Gaza. Excuse me. The military authority was convinced that these activities would weaken both the PLO and the leftist organizations in Gaza. At the end of 1992, there were 600 mosques in Gaza. Thanks to Israel's intelligence agency, Mossad, Israel's Institute for Intelligence and Special Tasks, the Islamists were allowed to reinforce their presence in the occupied territories. Meanwhile, the members of Fatah, Movement for the National Liberation of Palestine, and the Palestinian left were subjected to the most brutal form of repression. And so I just got word that Israel has declared war, first time since in the 70s they've officially declared war. So keep this in mind. They've planned this, you know, like they always do, to push one against the other. And I was waiting really for some pushback, because ADL was under some scrutiny there, and we don't want to be talking about why there's an ADL. Leo Frank, the rapist and murderer, to cover for him and the many appeals he received. And finally, the gentry took it into their own hands and served justice and hanged him. So we don't want too much of that going around. So some people say, oh, the ADL was created to protect the Federal Reserve. Well, no, it wasn't. But that be it as it may, and let's get back to the more uplifting things we can talk about here with Ken in Texas. Are you there, Ken?
Hello. Good afternoon, Myrrh, and good morning to Left Coasters. Mm-hmm. I after hearing that, I can't help but chime in on that story, if it's okay with you.
Sure.
I find it interesting that the police action in Ukraine, not really a war, I don't think, seems to be winding down a little bit, like the ethnic cleansing is complete, and then all of a sudden you have a war in Israel. It smells to me kind of like Balfour 2.0. Mm. Like if something was to happen to Israel, it would give them a great excuse to move to the Ukraine.
Yeah, I understand there was a large portion of Jews that went to Ukraine for atonement, I guess, during that super big holiday, right? And, you know, the largest, Holy Spirit told me one time, gave me this question to look up. Where is the largest JCC, the Jewish Community Center, in the world? And it's right there on the Dnieper River in Ukraine. It's enormous.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know that. I heard you mention that to Mike or somebody before. Yeah, I was completely and totally ignorant of all of that. It's been the Ukrainian war that has got my attention to some of those things. But it just hit me in the gut the first time I heard about this incursion. I was listening to Chris Switzer's show, and a guy called in and mentioned that that had happened. And knowing that the brutal force that they have available, it just seemed unlikely to me that that scenario wasn't red flaggish.
Yeah.
And so then I, you know, wonder, well, why would it be happening? And well, first it would give another reason to send more money abroad, because you have a whole group of people who see through Judeo-Christian eyes, mm-hmm. you know, what's going on there. And
they're the real Nazis, aren't they?
Well, that's an interesting point.
I'm just saying they're kind of blinded seeing through those eyes, right?
Well, it's an interesting word that I actually was going to talk about later in regards to the Maseroth, but it just hit me in the gut that Iran is allegedly has the nukes now, and so if something happens to Israel, then it's just perfect excuse for them to move to the Ukraine. Mm-hmm. That's probably as much as I need to say about that.
Hey, you say whatever you want.
Well, regarding the Maseroth, it's unfortunate that we've lost a lot of the information about the gospel in the stars. Fortunately, we had some 19th century researchers that did a heck of a lot of excellent work to help preserve what we do have available regarding the gospel and the stars. And you have Bollinger and Seiss, S-E-I-S-S, and Rolston, who all of those people have works that can be found in PDFs on the web, and I highly suggest people grab those and download them while they're available, that go into some great detail about the stars and the complete immersion of the biblical narrative in the Maseroth. Even though the word is only mentioned once, I believe, in Job, it the entire biblical narrative is based on the sun, the moon, and the stars.
Yeah, the constellations. Job 38:32, right?
Yes, and on a side note, I do take a new appreciation for all of the hosts at RBN, the day in and day out, week in and week out, month after month, year by year, continue to do shows when I just about fell apart trying to get ready for 1 2-hour show. I really have to hand it to you all. I don't know how you do it. And so I just want to say thank you for what you all do. And thank you, Murr, for what you do.
Because
you do it with such ease.
I want to thank the producers, you know. They're what make it work. Right?
Oh, I agree. I was going to get to that as well, because without them, there would be no RBN.
Right.
So kudos to you all. It's really a blessing to be able to have this platform.
I heard you call it. I heard you. I wasn't sure if I had my mic open. I heard you call into Michael Gatti's show the other day, and it's just, there's so much there. And I really advise people to listen to his Saturday show with Karen Kionis. That's just the two of them together, you know, because they have a lot of knowledge. And she's so well-spoken. She has these tours she does in New York. And it's just so good. And then, of course, DW, who was my guest last week, Daryl Wayne, the pilot, was on with him Friday, and Cal Robbins from Out West. And they have been doing shows for years. They had show over at Revolution Radio, a couple of them. And yeah, so there's just so much to unpack. And it's like Roger's Ailes work. You can't hear it enough. You know what I mean? I consider them, you know, I know there's some headbutting, but I consider them both professors, and we're fortunate to have them, you know?
Well, their depth of knowledge is profound. The world, well, at least our country, what used to be our country, would be a different place if this history had been taught in the schools. William made a comment about a week or two ago that really hit me deeply. And he said, I mean, he was being totally candid, or, you know, appreciate his candor. And then he said, I used to fall asleep in class. You know, I was totally bored, and I just knew something was wrong, so I just couldn't engage. And I just thought, oh, my goodness, I'm not the only one, you know. That was exactly the problem I had in school, was that, you know, your BS detector goes off, but you don't know why.
You're all ready to learn. Yeah, I'm interrupting you here. You, William Red Pelham, you're talking about, right?
Yeah, no, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I enjoy conversing.
Yeah, William Red Pelham, you're talking about, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
And so you know that something's wrong, but you can't put your finger on it. And so you get bounced around like a pinball machine, you know, a ball in a pinball machine, and you get hit with every wind of doctrine kind of thing, and you end up just wasting so much time, whereas if they'd spoken the truth, even if you disagree with it or didn't like it, at least you would have that rock-solid foundation to build upon.
Yeah. You know, and it makes the young ones coming up learning just respect their elders, you know? Why are you lying to me? And even if they don't know, and they have to know at some level, because if they look into it at all themselves, you know, but they tend to trust certain authors or, whatever's recommended to them when they're coming up through it too. And you, so you stay within those lines, those coloring lines, right? Those velvet ropes at the Capitol.
I mean, how embarrassing to find out that Santa Claus wasn't real, you know?
Well, that he was Satan.
Or the modern version, Satan Claus.
And I think Europeans, they had Krampus, right? Which was similar.
Yeah, well, Satan Claus, you know, you'll own nothing and be happy. So no more stockings on the fireplace full of Christmas cheer, right?
Yeah. I think we'll wait till the second hour and see how it goes before we start taking calls, don't you?
That's fine with me. I'm ready to handle anything that you throw at me. At least I'd like to think I am. But
yeah,
you know, honestly, I'm terrified. To be a teacher of what you believe the Bible says, the truth of the Bible, is just terrifying because, you know, the teachers will be held to a higher accountability. And so it's not just, you know, talking to the world, thinking out loud. It's, am I properly interpreting the scripture so that you can build a rock-solid foundation that you don't have to apologize for or be embarrassed about, you know, when you grow up kind of thing. So that's the other thing, too, is that the listeners for RBN are so sharp and so well-educated that, you know, quite often I learn something new just from people calling in. You know?
Mm-hmm. Me too.
So,
very often.
The only kind of calls you don't appreciate are the people that want to be, you know, argumentative or overbearing or, you know, bullies on the phone kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because that, you get nowhere fast with that. So if.
And it's funny how sometimes a caller can be sort of bullying and disrespectful, and then at other times other hosts and subject matter, and they fit right in. You know, so I guess it's dependent on what day and if it's their cup of tea that's being talked about, you know.
Do I hear music?
Well, I hear music. Yep, we're coming up on the break.
See,
and we'll be back
side.
In about 3 minutes.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and 5 easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Even about yourself, if you want to, or how you started coming involved in this, and maybe some about your travels, and it's all interesting.
Well, when I was young, we got a chance to go to the Great Pyramid in the Giza area, and if you've ever been there before, you'll understand what I mean. It's just a life-changing experience. And so it kind of started there for me because they're, you know, the stories, you know, the BS detector issue where, you know, they tell you, you know, it's a giant tomb and all that, and it just didn't add up. And so for a long
meanwhile, you can feel the energy coming off of it, right?
Oh, yeah. It's an amazing thing, you know, to go inside. You have to crouch down. You know, you're practically hitting your face with your kneecaps. And for about 1,170 pyramid inches until you get to the ascending passage, which goes up at a 26.3 degree incline. And after a while, you reach the Grand Galley, and you go from leaning over, eating your kneecaps, to being able to stand up into this amazing construction deep inside the pyramid, and you know, bypassing the so-called Queen's Chamber, go up to the end of the galley, you hit the Great Step, which interestingly enough is 35.76 inches tall, which will be significant later on. And then you can enter into the antechamber prior to the so-called king's chamber, wherein there is a sarcophagus, an empty one without a lid. And it's quite fascinating because you can hit it and it rings like a bell. Anyhow, so I laid down inside of that as a child, and because when we went, there was nobody else in the chamber except for myself and some family members. And so we had it all to ourselves, and we have a lot of interesting things in there, which I don't want to get too sidetracked on the pyramid. But when I was in there, there were a couple of granite blocks that had been removed over in the northwestern corner, and they were sitting on the side, and you know, now they're put back, and you know, long story short, that was the only place within the chamber that there could have been another passage.
Well, we're at the bottom of the hour. Okay.
It's appropriate music, though. It's really amazing. It's so astronomical.
Yeah, I love this music. You know, I went out in the sun and looking at the clouds in the sky and asking, what music should I have Sam play, right? And I was led to find this, and it's the music is slowed down 800%, and it's called A Choir of Angels.
Fantastic.
Okay, we'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Ciroc grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Guess we're back here again. And Ken, before you get started there again, I wanted to ask you, didn't you say that the inches were just about the same as what we have now?
Yes, that is correct. The sacred pyramid inch is just thousands of an inch different than the British inch and the U.S. inch. So it's based on the pyramid inch.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have cubits, which you might have heard from the biblical narrative.
Mm-hmm. You know, like from the elbow to the hand, you know, right?
Well, that's what they say, but mm-hmm. It actually is based on the pyramid inch, because mm-hmm. That was more of a pharaoh type thing. You know, the pharaoh determines what the length is, and so they would take that measurement. But, you know, you had different size pharaohs, and so that just didn't work. It was more of a pride thing, you know. Mm-hmm. But you have there's three cubits, but the two main ones are the royal cubit and the sacred cubit. The sacred cubit being 25 pyramid inches, and the royal being 20.60659 pyramid inches. And so, like, when you hear the biblical narrative, you know, building, you know, Noah, I want you to build an ark, you know, like Cosby said, right, what's an ark? You know, 300 cubits by 50 by 30. When you use the royal cubit length and you take those measurements of the ark, you have the same numbering sequences as are used in the King's Chamber of the Great Pyramid, and the same thing with the Ark of the Covenant, which, by the way, fits precisely inside the sarcophagus inside the King's Chamber.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
It's kind of funny. I didn't really think I'd be talking about this, but it's all related because, you know, outside the pyramid complex, you know, the three pyramids, you have the Sphinx, which has the body of a lion and the head of a woman, which indicates the beginning and the end of the zodiac.
Mm-hmm. The Virgo and the Lion of Judah, huh?
Right. Virgo, meaning the promised seed. And Leo being the lion of the tribe of Judah, which is also interesting when it comes to the book of the Revelation, where it talks about four beasts, which is a terrible translation because it actually means living ones and not beasts. So I don't know why they translate it as beast. But you have a lion, a calf, the face of a man, and the fourth beast, living one, was a flying eagle. Now, these change because there's other places in the biblical narrative where it talks about them, and it also goes the other direction. It goes from the lion to the scorpion, because the northern one of the tribe of Dan is sometimes represented as a scorpion, Scorpio, and sometimes as an eagle. And then ultimately as an eagle with the serpent in its talons. Anyhow, you then go from Dan over to Reuben, which is the man as an Aquarius pouring forth the water. And then the last one, Taurus, the bull, is Ephraim.
Yeah, Reuben was the first son of Leah, right? So Jacob's first wife and first son. Yeah, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting here.
No, no problem. It all flows together, and so I don't consider it an interruption, because half the time I have to struggle to get across my brain freeze to try to get to my next word. So it helps unlock the freeze, unthaw the freeze. And so it's a significant issue because it shows us that in the Revelation, it's connecting you to the Maseroth, because the lion, Leo, the eagle, or the scorpion, as in Scorpio, and the man, the water, carrying the water, which, by the way, you know, if you think about what Christ said, go and find the man carrying the water, which is completely strange, because the women carried the water, not the men.
Right. That was to secure the upper room, right?
Right. And then, you know, after Aquarius, you have Taurus. Now, interestingly enough, Leo, Scorpio, Aquarius, Taurus are all basically Babylonian names and not the original names of the ancient zodiac called the Maseroth, which it helps to unlock the difficulty that a lot of people have with trying to understand the Revelation, the book of the Revelation, by seeing that these things are directly related to the story of the Maseroth. The Maseroth in itself is an interesting word. I've tried to figure it out, and I've read a lot of what other people have said about it. But as you probably know from Rothschild, you know, it's Red Shield. And so Roth could mean red, and then the matzah is actually based on Mazarah, which is based on the root Nazar, Hebrew Strong's H5144, Nazar, which basically means dedicate or consecrate. And so you may have heard that word before, as Christ was sometimes called the Nazarene. not because he was from Nazareth,
but
because he was a follower of the Zodiac, but not a follower of the Zodiac, but the epitome of the narrative of the Maseroth, the Zodiac being the...
Zodiac represented him rather than the other way around,
Correct. And how do you spell Nazarite from H 5144? It's N-A-Z-I-R-I-T-E.
Okay.
So it's funny you brought that word up earlier. See, they've taken a good thing and tried to associate it with bad things.
Well, that's kind of a theme through the, you know, mistranslations, and there's quite a bit of it. You know, the King James Version is very good, but, you know, to cause, like, fear, you know, rather than seeing God as who he is, really.
Well, I read from the King James Version, also the Geneva Bible, but there are some significant issues with the King James Bible that I have, but... since I'm aware of them, I don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. But I'll get to some of that later. The interesting thing, though, is that the first followers of Christ, you know, those in Jerusalem area, were called people of the way.
The way, the truth, and the life. Right?
Right. Which is what he called himself, the way. Well, the way is the Maseroth. Now, I'm painting with a broad brush there, and I could take another hour to explain everything, but that's the Cliff Notes version. And they weren't called Christians until Antioch.
And that really means Christ's sons, right?
Antioch?
No, Christians.
No, it's just a different way of saying followers of Messiah. It's the Greek way of saying followers of Messiah.
Okay. I was misled somewhere along the line.
Well, I mean, it could be couched that way, but my analysis of what's going on there is that Paul, the Apostle Paul, was the apostle to the diaspora, or some may call it diaspora, and they were Greek speakers. They didn't speak Hebrew because they hadn't been around Hebrew in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. You know, the first Assyrian captivity was in 722, 721 BC. So we're talking a long time they'd been away from that. And so to say Christian is just the Greek way of saying it, just like Paul was called Saul, and then he was called Paul because that's the Greek version of Saul. And interestingly enough, Antioch, since we don't know exactly where this occurred, we just know the greater Antioch area, but even still, you know, depending on how many significant digits you want to use, it's at 36 degrees north latitude and 36 degrees east longitude.
Wow.
And if you did it from the Great Pyramid, it'd be approximately 5 degrees east longitude. You know, the current meridian is in Greenwich, England. So it'd be 36 degrees from there. But anyhow, getting back to the pyramid real quickly, the angle, the ascending passage being 26.3 degrees, which is actually 26 degrees, 18 minutes, 9.63 seconds, if I remember correctly. If you strike a line east to west from the middle of the pyramid and then take a 26.3 degree angle northwards and east, then you strike a line that goes straight through Bethlehem.
Yeah. And, I remember you talking about this,
Yeah, and so these are, that was part of the things that really got me going on this was once I found that out, you know, as I was off to the races.
Well, you called it what, Christ angle? Is that what you call it?
That's what, yeah, some call it the Bethlehem angle, the Christ angle. It depends on who you talk to or who you read about, but it's precise.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta get my train of thought back here.
Sorry about that.
So, no, it's all right. I can blame nobody but myself. But the distances and the angles and all of that stuff are all contained within the Great Pyramid, which, according to the pyramid's own design and construction, was built in approximately 2641 BC.
Mm-hmm.
So it's if I remember that correctly, I may be off on my numbers there since I didn't prepare to talk about that. But nevertheless, multiple thousands of years before Christ was born. And then the pyramid itself actually has eight sides because each side dips in the middle. So you actually have an eight-sided pyramid. And then since there's no capstone, no cornerstone, because on a pyramid, the cornerstone is the capstone. And then you consider the bottom, it's actually 10-sided.
Mm-hmm.
Which I find fascinating in terms of Christ saying, I've come for none but the lost sheep of the house of Israel, which was the 10 northern tribes. But
just
I digress.
Tetrahedral, is that what that is?
I think so. You got me on that one.
Well, never mind, and, ignore me.
No, I can't ignore you. I'd be talking to myself. And so there are just all of these things that line up with the gospel and the stars, and all of these are ancient. That's the point I'm trying to get to, is that the gospel narrative is ancient, and you know, in the biblical narrative, what's the very first thing that Genesis 1:1 says? In the beginning, God created the heaven, I would say the heavens, and the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So, right from the beginning, it's talking about, oh, by the way, I said astronomical music. What I meant to say was celestial. I think that sounds much
well,
nicer.
Well, yeah, that is more fitting. Yeah. I like that.
And then, you know, it talks about how he made two great lights, a greater light to rule the day, and a lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, you know, in Genesis 1:16.
Mm-hmm.
And so from the beginning of the biblical narrative, it's talking about the stars, the Jewish, or I should say the Israel, or the Hebrew calendar, was based on a lunisolar calendar, so the sun, the moon, and the stars. And so the important point I'm trying to get across is that if you read the Bible or reread the Bible with this in mind, it's really amazing how a lot of scriptures that seem so difficult to understand just jump out at you and just completely show how the gospel in the stars was the way that God communicated his truth in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Because everything was based on the stars, when to plant crops, when to harvest crops, determining how long a year was, how long a month was, and this is what is so important and why God, the Most High God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, got so upset with his people, the Hebrews, is because time after time after time, they would lose sight of the gospel and the stars. Instead of worshiping their creator, they would start worshiping the creation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
still going on,
why,
huh?
Oh, yes. Which is a very important point. And, you know, they would worship Jupiter or Zeus. They would worship Saturn as Rimfan, or sometimes called Tiun, C-H-I-U-N, and sometimes
Kaiwan. What's that six-pointed star? What's that six-pointed star? That Rimfan?
Well, that's an interesting conversation in itself, because when you have the lampstand, you know, in the temple, the seven lampstands, right? You have three opposing lamps and one in the middle. And if you unfold them out, then it makes a six-pointed star.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference is there's one in the middle. And so in that six-pointed star you see today is not the same one. It had a star in the middle. That's what my research has shown.
Well, for a while there, it had a swastika in the middle, right?
Well, that was actually to be symbolic of the sun, the rotation of the sun, the fire wheel. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of meaning and symbolism that
it just makes you wonder, you know, what power is being gained from using certain ones and then demonizing others so no one else can have power from them.
And thank you for that. It helps me get back on track, because that's exactly what I was trying to get at, is that the Zodiac is the renaming of the Maserat. That's basically what the Romans called it. And then they started creating their own versions of the Maserat, thus the Zodiac. And that's basically the story behind the Tower of Babel, was mm-hmm. that they created basically a ziggurat that had the Zodiac on the ceiling. So it wasn't a tower built to the heavens. It was a tower that was built that had the heavens on the top of it, very much like the Egyptian temple of Dendera, where it has the Zodiac on the ceiling. But they started giving different meanings to it. It's very similar to changing the Bible and making different translations and changing what the gospel message is. And if you think about the story of Uzzah, you know, when he reached out to, when they were bringing the ark back to Jerusalem, and they had it on a cart, which it wasn't supposed to be on a cart. It was supposed to be carried on rods by men and not on a cart being pulled by donkeys. Anyhow, it got unstable and it started to fall. And so he reached up to stabilize it, and God struck him dead. And that's a pretty tough story to swallow, because why would somebody who's trying to do a right thing by keeping the ark from falling in the mud, the dirt, whatever, be struck dead? And this is an important thing to remember, because what it means is that the gospel message is not to be messed with. And the Ark of the Covenant was symbolic of the gospel message. The, you know, Ten Commandments written in stone by the finger of God, which, by the way, I can't help myself, I have to give this little side note. After you have the gospel and the stars, you have all these things that God has done to his people to be with them, to cover them, take care of them. I think what happened on Mount Horeb, you know, where Moses received the commandments from God, was God's frustration, where, you know, he's done everything he can do and been over this over and over again with his people, and they're just a wicked and rebellious people.
Stiff-necked.
So, yes, ma'am, that's perfect quotation. Is that he's finally saying, okay, you know, I've given you the gospel and the stars. I've provided for you. You know, you had everything from the Garden of Eden to all of these wonderful things he's done for you to help you to follow him in a way that is respective of him. And so basically what he's saying is that, what do I have to do, you know? What else can I say? What do I have to do? Carve it in stone? You know, that kind of response. And here comes the celestial music.
Well, we've reached the end of the first hour, so I guess we'll try to maybe open phones when we come back. I'll give out the number. That sound good to you?
Certainly.
All right. We'll be back.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.